Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
Bitch better have my money.
Hey.
Yeah, I should know me well enough, bitch. But yes. That song been stuck in my head.
Because you saw her performance in India. Yes.
I want to be rich enough to afford Rihanna. It's a dream. You know.
If I'm rich enough to afford Rihanna, I'm not going to pay for Rihanna because it's not worth the money. I'd rather.
Who would you pay for?
Only Beyonce or Janet. Mm. But like Rihanna, come on. I love Rihanna. I like Rihanna just as Rihanna. I don't care for her on stage, like live performing. Well, I do like her performances like at award shows. She did good at the Super Bowl, but I have never liked to see her like in concert.
It's not something you feel like, oh, I need to spend my hard-earned rich money.
The only way I'm down to see Rihanna live in concert is like Coachella. I definitely want to see her do Coachella. Because, you know, Coachella is already a vibe. She wouldn't be the only act. There's other people to support the show. But to just go solely and she's the headliner, I ain't got time. I would think by the time she gets on stage and what she's going to give, I'm going to be ready to go home. That's just.
And here we watch too much TV. We are honest.
Okay, because it is what it is. But Tanea is returning from a beautiful winter getaway in the Colorado Rockies. Were you in the Rockies, like Colorado? No,
Glen Springs, and then we did a Vail stop and a stop in
Ooh,
Aspen.
Come on, Vail.
I feel like a rich bitch, y'all.
And you was looking real cute in your wintry attire.
Period, okay? I said I'm coming straight for the photos, okay?
And you did. And you did.
Get my angles.
Did you drink hot cocoa or a latte and look at the fresh snow trees?
No. I mean, I had my tequila flask and a mimosa.
There you go. Did you have a hot toddy?
No, I didn't do the winter stuff. I didn't do the hot
because you know my stomach. Well, you know what that means. We gotta go back.
Yes. I do want to go back and stay in Aspen because we stayed about an hour out. So we like went there for the night.
Oh, yeah. That'll be us because I have been Aspen is on my list since I drove through and I'm like, oh, Mariah, I get it, bitch.
You would love it. You're very into scenery.
I'm a scenic ass bitch. I'm like all trees, cabins, wood, birds. I'm an earth sign, so I'm all
Ranger
for that.
Jocelyn is here.
Oh yeah, I'm like totally there for it. I had just posted my pictures from BAM and Sheena was like, our friend Sheena, she was just like, oh my gosh, I want to go. I was like, bitch, we'll do a stop in Aspen for one of our winter trips. And then we can go to Canada.
Beautiful. Yes. You looked nice and warm and beautiful. And I think I saw your hot cocoa. So you.
I definitely did. And you know what? I'm so proud of myself for really tapping into my winter, like just dressing warm. But that just shows you that I'm from New York because I know my cold, baby. Like,
listen,
I didn't need nobody to like, I just asked her, I was like, what's on the itinerary so I could know how cold do I need to prepare for? And when she told me like, you know, it was like, we were going to do a medicine walk outdoors. I was like, you ain't say nothing but a word. I got my winter coat. I knew to get my insulations, baby. Cause us New Yorkers, we know a cold day. Like it's really all about layering. Because what really makes it something cold, cause it can already be cold, is about that wind chill factor. Mm. So if it's windy, that's what makes it even worse. Like, oh God, the wind, it's so cold. But when we like the first day, like it honestly, it only kind of got windy that last day. But the first 2 days I was there, it was so beautiful. It was just like cold, but like not cold because it wasn't like winter cold. So, I loved it. And then those mountains, they're just magical. But, you know, we also have Rockies in Colorado. That's what I was asking. So our Rockies aren't as pristine as the Canada Rockies, but they are worthy. you know, Tanea will tell you she was just there.
They are beautiful and green and worthy.
There's so much beauty in the world to be seen and experienced. You just got to get out and do it.
Book that flight.
Book the flight. All right. And on that note, let's get into our weekly grab. Because even in our travels, we always make time for television.
You know what? It is very important, even on my phone.
Yeah. In the airport, like, if I got to catch up on a show, I got to catch up on a show. It just sucks sometimes when I'm in another country and they won't let me do it. And I'm like, no.
I know you said that when you were in Canada. But
yeah, it was like horrible. But then the upside is that when I come back, I just have so much good television to watch. But, you know. So what's first on your list, best friend?
Okay, so first on my list is a new season of one of my favorites from my best friend in my head, Gordon Ramsay. One day, I'm going to meet him. Like, I really feel like I'm going to just meet him. And I'm going to be like, Gordon, we're friends. You don't know that? But I think you're such a
You know it now.
Yes, I think he's a family man. He just takes his like craft seriously. That's why he'd be cursing. But he really cares. He's a sweetheart. He's not cancer. You never hear no bad shit about Gordon Ramsay. He understands. Right. So it's a new season of Next Level Chef. Basically, this show takes five home cooks, five mm-hmm. people who like cooks on social media, and five professional cooks. And they're all on three different teams with three professional chefs. And they have three different levels they have to cook on. The basement, everything's like broke down, horrible kitchen. The medium kitchen is like a normal kitchen, okay. Top floor is like the best of the best. And basically, it's like an elevator. And you have 30 seconds to pick what you're going to cook. And then it goes down to the middle and it goes down to the end. So you see people fighting for food. And then when it's time, when you finish a meal, you got to put it on the platform before it run out. So if the platform go up and you miss it, that's it. You miss your shot. You go home. And so sometimes it's interesting to watch people fight that or like do things in like the horrible kitchen. But anyway, this episode, this really was like spicy to me because basically it was this Asian girl. She forgot to turn her oven on. She was nervous and she was doing stuff and messed up the seasoning and it was real bad. And then there was this other black cook from Atlanta, Angela. She's a single mom. Shout out to you, Angela. She looks cool. She just was having an off day. And so basically they were the bottom, but it was another guy named Jordan. He was like third from the bottom. His wasn't the best, but it wasn't the worst. Okay, so bam, one cook wins, and then the bottom two cooks from the other teams, they have to compete, and one person goes home. Uh-huh. So they agreed on Angela, the girl from Atlanta. But Gordon Ramsay, he had a different strategy. He didn't want to pick the Asian girl because she was the worst. He wanted to pick someone who he knew could beat Angela. So he picked the guy, Jordan, who was like third or fourth, but better than the Asian girl. But Jordan had an immunity pin. And he was like, you want to save yourself? He was like, fuck it. I don't know this Asian girl. And this is not my worst meal. She needs to go in. So he was like, I'm using it. It's not like Love and Hip Hop. I know y'all.
Right. Because your recap is insane.
This is the version of Next Level Chef Gordon. You need to hire me for commentary.
So literally,
he's like, no, I'm not this girl. Like, fuck it, I'm using it. And then she looks sad. She's like, I can do it. So she battles Angela and Wendy loses. But I say that to say, y'all got to worry about yourself because it was a competition. And at first, I understood like Gordon don't want to lose anybody. So he wanted to take him out, but he wasn't the worst. That Asian girl needed to prove herself. And clearly, she lost. So she didn't prove herself.
What channel is this on? It sounds
great. It's on Fox.
Okay.
It's on Fox. I'm telling you.
Is that on Hulu?
Yes, it's on Hulu. Yes. Most shows on Fox are on Hulu. It's called Next Level Chef. It's on season 3, so you can start with season 1. But I'd be mad interested. Like, who gonna make it? Who gonna
it
go home?
It sounds juicy. And I still only watch Emerald Cooks. That's my only cooking show. And Mark watched the episode with me the other night. And I happened to be on pecans, which you know Mark loves pecans. He was like, ooh, I can make this. I can make this. So we're gonna have to watch the episode back to get the recipe.
Oh my god,
because we were watching it and then you know things got a little spicy. So we'll have to revisit the episode so we can actually take notes. Yeah. I can add Gordon Ramsay to the cooking shows I watch if it's juicy like that. And I know a new season of What's It, Master Chef is about to come out on Bravo.
Yes. MasterChef Junior.
Master Chef Junior.
With the babies, with the kid.
Oh, that would yeah, that one's cute. The first on my weekly grab is a new show on Roku. I've been watching a lot of Roku, and it's called Side Hustlers. It's with Ashley Graham, you know, the model, and Emma Greed, who is the co-founder of Good American with Khloe Kardashian. And she's a serial entrepreneur. And Ashley Graham is an investor. She likes to invest in businesses. And so they basically, the first episode, you see them go through a large group of ambitious female entrepreneurs that are looking to turn their side hustles into careers with an investment and mentorship from Ashley and Emma. And then from there, they select a small group of women entrepreneurs, like business owners that they're going to work with. What you see from the first episode is like a lot of people are just, not ready, but it is good to see of the variety of brands and business ideas. And it's like women in different stages of their lives and careers. A lot of them are moms, very diverse. But, like I said, it just shows how some people just aren't ready to be meeting with an investor just yet. Like this
Yeah,
one
some people
lady.
have an idea and they're like, it's money wise. Not
Yes, like
yet.
they
Not
literally came with an idea. One lady comes in, her idea is called holy water. And
You don't
it's
even have to
not
think
even
of it
like
that
she's doing anything to manufacture this holy water. It's
way.
just her getting drop shipped water from like Amazon and repurposing it in like this can that she designed, and it's holy water. And
She said so.
Ashley is just looking at her like, girl, no. Then there's this one business that they wanted to invest in. Emma actually used it because the lady, it's called Lightly, and it's for like basically moms on the go who are traveling, where if you find yourself in a situation where you don't have any diapers or certain things, products for your baby, you can get them through this service Lightly. Like they'll be available. It's not necessarily like a vending machine, but it's like available through high-end hotels. But the issue is the lady did she it's not accessible to the average person. You literally have to be of this upper echelon to use these products because the lady only uses high quality products. And so it could only go into like high quality spaces. So Ashley was trying to get her to come down on that to where, it could be more affordable for the average everyday mom. And the lady was like, I'm just not willing to budge because
Oh
like
my
is about
God.
quality. Now, mind you, I just want to say this woman is like so gung-ho on the quality. Even her husband was trying to get her to change her mind on that. And she was so stubborn on it. So it ends up not working. But this is just me being me. My thing is, if you're so into quality, mama, I would like you to disperse that energy to your wig because the wig that she's wearing throughout the show is such a disservice to everything that she's talking about. It was so such a distraction. And I'm like, how is she over here talking about the quality? And she got this freaking Temu ass wig plopped on her head. It's just not giving. So I need you to disperse that energy. And at the same time, listen to your husband, listen to Ashley, and think about how you can make that more accessible to the average mom, because it's just not a mom with money that finds herself in a situation where she needs a diaper while she's at the airport. Boo.
Right. And to your point, what about if you grow over time? Why don't you start small and see
Exactly.
what you
There were
do
so
and then
many
get
things that
money?
I think when she watches the show back, hopefully it motivates her to change her tune. But the people who end up getting picked, this one lady who has like a product for like dogs or people who own pets. Another lady who created like these panties that it's like kind of one size fits all. Another one, a black girl based out here in LA who owns a food truck, but we actually find out she don't own the food truck. Her
Oh
baby daddy owned the food truck. And Emma tells her, we're not willing to invest in you if you don't at least have 50% ownership. So then you see her trying to work with the baby daddy to get 50% ownership, and he's talking about 60-40. So
no.
exactly right. So it's like you see, then there's another one. There are sorors. It was three of them, but now they're down to two because they lost one of their sorors unexpectedly. Literally, right, a few months before they got on the show. But they own a beauty company out here in LA, and they're just trying to figure out how to scale. So you just see all these different women and you know, the kind of teams they have. Another one, it's these two girls. What's their business again? Oh gosh, it's slipping my mind. But it's two girls, and one of them is about to go on maternity leave. Like, she's super pregnant. And so you just see how this investment and this mentorship is just helping them where they're at in their different stages of their business. So it's really inspiring. It's executive produced by Reese Witherspoon. So I just love that it's just like women empowering women, empowering women. And it's on Roku. I think it's only just a few episodes because it's the first season, but I'm really hoping that they get a season two.
Well, yeah, I'm going to watch it to encourage that because, you know, they be fucking us up and
not Reese Witherspoon, though. She got pulled. Reese Witherspoon got pulled.
So. Come on, Reese, get it together.
Come on now. So what's next on your weekly grab?
Next on my weekly grab is a very random show that I press play on. That's on season two, but I am in love with it. I'm starting to binge it, so I'll be caught up by next week. It's called Will Trent. It's on ABC. It's like a detective cop show. It stars people that I'm not familiar with, but I've seen before also.
Okay. Great.
Can't give any names. I'm so sorry about that. I do know that two of the main Black lead women characters, one was on The Wire.
Okay.
And I think she was a lesbian and I had a crush on her. And the other one was one of the older daughters on This Is Us. Look, y'all, this is how I remember things.
Okay.
Anyway, this show is about a dyslexic detective who was in foster care his entire life. But now he's like one of the top agents in the FBI division in Georgia. And one of his friends slash lovers slash, I guess, romantic interests is a cop who's a recovering addict, and they're like sleeping together, but they also kind of work together. His partner is a Black woman who they were kind of paired together by mistake, but he also got her mother like disbarred from the cop force. They still haven't gotten into that story yet, but she shouldn't like him, but they work really well together. But it's just an interesting show because he uses what he is good at, his other senses, to kind of make him a really good detective. And I just like the clues and like figuring it out. And it's one of those shows where like you think the father did it, but the son did it the whole time.
Right. And each episode is different, right? It's like a different story.
Each episode is like a different story. He's a detective. He's figuring it out, but he's dyslexic. So when there's clues, he'll have the partner read it to him. And there's certain people who make fun of him. They call him stupid. They call him lazy. But if you don't know him, he won't tell you. So the girl was kind of figuring it out because she would be like, come look at this. He'd be like, read it to me. Or he feels things and he touches things, but he's dyslexic. He can't read. So it's not the premise of it, but it's a really good show. And I was like, yes, by mistake. So
I like the what we see, especially because you're telling us about it. I think there's another one you watched, The Good Doctor or something. They're incorporating making leads with disabilities.
I think it's so important. I think as you get it, I like to have insight into how other people like think. That's why I'm so empathetic because you just don't know. Right. So I know people in my life who are dyslexic and I know how much of a hassle it could be to do certain things. So I just love that they're making this powerful, handsome, like detective guy. He's really good and he's able to succeed, like, you know, because of and not lack thereof. So if you want a good detective show, like the last episode, I was like, what? The priest? He did what? So it was.
I'm going to check it out. I just had started The Irrational and I didn't finish it. That one's on NBC, but so it's on Peacock. And I know he has like a disfigurement on his face. But he's like really analytical and he can just kind of piece together. He comes to the scene of the crime and just kind of pieces together what led to whatever happened. Cause he's just like super, super smart. But literally I didn't even finish episode one. I have a couple of those shows right now that as I'm getting to them, I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna finish this. I'm gonna finish that. So yeah, I will add Will Trent, because this is also on Hulu, right?
Yes, it's on Hulu, and the second season like just started, and the first season only has 13 episodes, so I'll probably be finished by tomorrow. Like, this has been on my TV all day. Like, what? Because I have so many questions. What's next on your weekly grab?
Next on my weekly grab is The Traitors.
I have to catch up. I'm behind, but it's okay. You can
oh
spoil
my goodness.
It. No, I'm so behind.
It's such a the best show on television right now. I can't believe you're behind.
No. I get to catch
so,
up.
So last episode, we finally, I mean, I'm sorry, you're gonna get these spoilers.
No, I know. I kind of saw like hints, but go ahead.
So Phaedra, you know, saw her demise. You know, just basically because, you know, Dan had been planted the seed. So it was only a matter of time before Phaedra got voted out. But at the same time, you know, she already recruited Kate as a traitor. And so when you see Kate basically vote for Phaedra, she just does too much in her vote. And now I feel it's going to that's going to backfire on her. And now eyes are going to be on her because all she had to do was just say, you know, Phaedra, I'm voting for you. It's just not looking like, you know, you're a faithful. No, Kate goes, Phaedra, you're playing the game very selfishly. And that it's like, what? And so Sandra now got her eyes on Kate because she's like, why? Like, I just don't see why, how she said all of that and for what reason. And when she asked Kate about it after the deliberation, Kate's response was just like, you know, like people have been saying she's a traitor and I just don't understand why she was going to keep murdering people. Like, it's like her response wasn't that strong. And now I think she just put a target on her back.
Kate gives that. Kate gives very like, she's going to do too much and she wanted to be a traitor. And it's like,
yeah, no, maybe I don't not. Think, I really don't think she is traitor material at all. But now I'm just interested because I'm just like, what is going to happen if they really vote out all the traitors? Like, this will be a first. So I'm interested to see. But also, CT is such a just like stud. Like the way he
ended up. I love CT.
Yeah.
I saw the clip of that when he voted out Phaedra. Yeah. I love him.
Their little showmance was just really cute to watch. But also for anyone who has watched CT since The Real World Paris, to see his growth.
It's so sweet.
Yeah, it's really endearing. And Phaedra went out like a G. People are saying that they think she would have won if Dan didn't rat her out. But I'm just being honest. I don't think she would have won. I don't see Phaedra as a Siri. Phaedra was still too cold with her responses when people weren't showing up in the morning breakfast. She was very unbothered. And it was only a matter of time before people started to sniff that out. Like, Phaedra never, ever showed any emotion. I mean, that is the Phaedra we know. But at the same time, that's why Siri was so amazing. Like, she showed compassion. She showed reaction, response. She, like, really...
Yeah, she was interested. Yeah. She was actually having conversations with people.
Yes.
Phaedra's not good at that. I also feel like this season compared to last season, like, they were all intertwined. So I feel like once they got that one, it was easier to like knock them down, if you will. So I feel like that's a big difference. But to your point, like if they get all of them, then what happens? I think the best bet is to make CT one because you wouldn't expect that after what he did with Phaedra.
Right.
That's what I would do. I would do that.
I mean, we'll see. We shall see. But yeah, it's getting down to the wire. I still don't know how the hell Trishelle is there. Like, why? Why is Trishelle here? I do not understand. They voted out John and not Trishelle. I was like, why? Why? Like, Phaedra knew that they were going to vote her after sending home John. So it's like, why not just send home Trishelle? Send her home. Okay, but what's next on your weekly grab?
Last on my list is another show that I guess I was late to the party, but I like being late to the party to shows because I like the hype to go down, or sometimes I like to see the hype. So of course I'm a award show person. I kept seeing a bear win everything. I was like, I have to watch the show. And the first episode was okay. And then the second episode got better. But now I finished the first two seasons. I am obsessed. I can't wait for season three. It like the character arcs. It's one of those shows that could go on for a long time because they don't give you everything so soon. And you have a lot of questions. And so they keep building on the story. But I'm in like obsessed with it. It's about Carmi. He's a chef. He basically had a very traumatic childhood. He has an older brother, older sister. Older sister's like the real mom because the mom's a fucking nutcase. So the older sister's been like that. The older brother kind of got Carmi into cooking, but they went separate paths. Older brother went to like a five-star thing in New York. Older one stayed in Chicago, opened up a, like a restaurant. he commits suicide. No one knows why. Carmi moves back and they're just trying to build the pieces, but he leaves the restaurant to Carmi, but they weren't talking when he died. So it's just Carmi trying to navigate certain things. His brother left him. They try to make this ghetto restaurant become like the number one thing in Chicago. So where they left off, it was like a reopening, a rebranding. They got some love in there. They got a lot of family. They got a lot of, it's just, it's like my, I'm trying to, what would I compare it to? I don't know, but it's like comedy. It's like drama. It's really interesting. I do understand the hype. I am team Carmi. Yes, chef. So it's a very slow beginning, but I am obsessed with it.
Yeah, I couldn't get past the beginning, but I thank you for breaking it down for me.
Yes.
I get it now. And yeah, it's probably not a show for me, but I'm sure it's amazing. That's why it's won all these awards and the cast is getting all the praise. But it's sounding like it's kind of like, I'm just not really into those like drama, melancholy. It has to have some kind of deeper meaning if I'm going to get into it.
Right.
Or something that truly resonates just with me and where I'm at in my life as a Black woman. But I get it. And I do like, you know, more representation outside of like major cities. Well, I mean, Chicago is a major city. So yeah, like put an offer Chicago and yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
But I just,
and then like, yeah, the main character that's Ayo, Azebari,
she's
beautiful in it. And it's just a different type of relationship with her and Carmi, because usually they try to put these people as like lovebirds.
Yeah.
But you see like two people. Yeah. And it's just like, I love the friendship, the camaraderie. They help each other out. They listen to each other, but they're helping each other grow and they need each other. So it's just, it's a really nice kind of family oriented thing. Like your family's crazy. You can't change the people, but you love them and you're there for them.
Exactly.
And you really want to see them win. So
yes,
it's a good show if you like it, but if not, I'll give you spoiler.
Yeah. Give me the spoilers. I'm fine with that. Cause I'm just not going to watch that. I can't sit through like stuff like that unless it's like, it has to be something, you know, like I started watching Shogun on Hulu. Mm-hmm. Like that one is like based in the 1600s. It's like Japanese war. Then you're seeing the colonization with the, you know, like the Europeans. So that resonates with me, right? Cause I'm a history nerd. I'm also into like fighting. I've been actually watching like, I'm like between Shogun and then wrapping up The Brother's Son. I'm like, oh, I love this. Like, you know, I love diversity as long as like it's something that, I can get into. But if it's like just straight drama, it just doesn't. Like, I'm just going to, I'm going to get bored. I know me, I'm going to get bored. And I'm going to be like, yeah, no.
Last one,
my weekly grab is reality television, because that's what resonates with me. I love the mess. So The Real Housewives of Reunion, part 1 and 2. Came out last week, and it was just really interesting to see, like, basically nobody likes Larsa. Lisa, it's like she's on her last leg, but really like, Larsa and Lisa are those two where everybody is like getting in their ass. What you are able to see is how Larsa really holds on to information to throw it in your face. So it's like, as soon as like you're kind of confronting her on something that she did, that it's like, it's wrong. She will already, she'll already have it ready.
Right.
Jam cracked in the barrel. Like, when they were at your wedding and they were talking about so-and-so people doing drugs. And it's just like, whoa, where did that even come from? So it's,
and why are we even talking about this?
It just really shows that there's not really genuineness coming from her ever, because she's always, if you can't take accountability and then you have something to throw back into my face, then it's like you don't care. Like, you're not a real friend. So pretty much you're just seeing like everyone giving it to Larsa. I feel like Alexia has an issue with Larsa now. We already know Gertie. Julia Ben didn't like Larsa.
I like what she said. I still do not believe her, but it's real.
And rightfully so, because it's not like everything about Larsa, like her physicality is just extremely, you know, fake and enhanced. The one thing that is a standout, because I think now, because it's really just Larsa and Lisa that, you know, people are kind of picking at this reunion, you could also see like Adriana is just insufferable. And she's also
what the hell is wrong with her? Why she always got a prop?
And
why
she's
she always
weird.
gotta get up and do a show? Something's wrong. Yeah. It's annoying. Like, yeah. I have a poem. I have a rose. I have a shut
and
the
it's
fuck
yeah,
up.
It's just like, yeah, it's just like, girl, stop. So I definitely see that being kind of picked at more in the next season too. Cause Adriana, it's like, girl, your obsession with Alexia and Marisol, it's gotten really weird. It really has
it's
gotten
crazy.
Weird.
And you're gonna give Nicole that fucking rose knowing that they was whipping her ass thick and she was doing all of this stuff and it was you. And it was you. It was just, she's so annoying. And Marisol, like her face, she was like, oh, I hate being in the show.
And I just saw a resurfaced clip from, I think it's like season one. And Marisol's mom, because I guess her mom could like read energy and stuff, was telling Larsa after just meeting her, you're crazy about men. You're like boyfriend. And Larsa, remember at the time, she's like married to Scottie Pippen with 3 kids. And she got so offended. She's like, no, I'm not. But to now see speed up years later, Marisol's mom was right.
Sure was.
She was absolutely right. And just like, it's really crazy though. I still think Larsa is good for the show because delusional housewives are the best, right? And Larsa is grade A delusion, like delusion, contusion, erosion, like to a team. You are not really going to get like the episode 2 ended where it's like they're asking her, is she going to apologize to Gertie? And she's just like, I've apologized so many times. Like,
oh my
I'm upset
God.
Too. Like, she just can't. Like, she literally just cannot. And it's just like, it's so sickening to see. But it's like, at least we're not, you can see that you're not alone in not liking her and just seeing all of her flaws. But she really doesn't. Ugh. She really does not care. So it is what it is. But my other thing too is I'm just not understanding how they have the lowest viewership of among the housewives. It makes no sense to me.
Me either.
The best franchise, especially ahead of Beverly Hills. I don't understand too why they crammed Miami after Beverly Hills. And then now we're about to get Housewives of New Jersey by itself. It just makes no sense. And then Dubai doesn't premiere until June. It's just like their rollout with the Housewives is starting to piss me off. And they're just not doing Miami justice at all. So get it together.
Miami's the only one I'm up to. The only one like I'm up to the last episode. Like not just watching clips, but I actually purposefully like go back. And let's give Kiki her mojito. I love her. Give me more her and give me less of Adriana. She don't got to go away.
I agree. Give us more Kiki and less Adriana. Adriana could still be around as a friend, but definitely we need more Kiki for sure.
Give a chunk of that money over.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. So now let's get into our piss poor performance that I guess we'll start with Tanea. But first, let's give it some time so we can get that sound effect. Our piss poor performance.
Okay. I really got a piss. Okay, so listen, I would like to say or just propose that we rename this award the Larsa Pippen Piss Poor Performance.
Oh my God.
Because she gets on my nerves so much.
Oh my gosh.
She's not my person. I do have somebody else to give it to, but I just feel like she's so piss poor and she just got on my nerves so much. So it was just like, I was just waiting for you to finish. So I could just say she deserves.
Oh, she doesn't deserve to have anything named after her. Because then that means we got to say her name literally every week, even when there's no reason to think about her.
The entire time, she literally, like, when I saw Julia, like, go to Lisa's room, separate herself, acknowledge what happened and say, like, this, like, Larsa just doesn't have it in her.
No.
And she's just so oblivious. Instead of saying sorry, she just couldn't just find it to be like, you know what? I'm sorry. I was wrong. And then this mother said, when you said don't tell anyone, I thought you meant social media.
It made no sense. It made no sense. And bitch, you are 50 years old. 50?
You know better.
Yeah, exactly. You know better. So what are you talking about? You thought she meant social media. That makes absolutely no sense. Maybe to a 17-year-old, but not a 50-year-old mother of 4. Like, you're full of crap. And like when they played it back and you hear Gertie literally say, don't tell the girls. I want to tell them on my own. So
and
you're
then the first people she tell is these random girls that right. Gertie don't even know.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Those are good girls. Gertie said those are your girls. Those are not my girls. What the?
Right.
Okay, so we can't name the segment after her. Okay, you're right.
No,
all right.
I cannot sit there and keep talking about this.
The Pippin poor performance. No, I don't even think it's about Scotty. Okay.
No.
So my real piss poor performance of the week is fucking Netflix for canceling the brother's son.
Oh, wait, they canceled it?
They canceled it.
Well, what were they going to do after? Oh, well, yeah, because season two could have followed the family. Wait, why did they cancel it?
Could have followed them. I'm happy
you brought it up because I literally wanted to talk about the show because I just finished it and I had strong feelings. Wait, why did they cancel it? What did they say? It couldn't have been because of ownership.
Was that they canceled the brother's son after one season.
Wow.
And that was it. That's all I saw was that it is canceled. Yes, the Netflix cancels them after one season, despite a good showing. They did not provide a reason for the cancellation. Some reports note that the action comedy drama failed to garner a large enough audience. Weekly views reportedly dropped from under 7 million to below 2 million in its last 2 weeks. But it had really good reception and really high scores on Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb. So there's still no real reason. It wasn't the worst.
Wow.
But like, I'm just so like, I love
wondering if it still has to do with budget off of like what it would have cost to film another season what it was bringing in. Cause that's typically sometimes what, you know, like how much we love The Breakdown or The Get Down.
Yeah. That was The Get Down, but it was expensive.
It was just so much money to keep trying to make it look like it was the 70s and all this. And for what the viewership it was getting, it just wasn't worth it. But I literally just finished that show over the weekend. And I was invested after the seeing how it ended with the mom going back to Taiwan and the son joining her. But I will say, Bruce is such a bitch. He pissed me off so bad all throughout the damn show with how gullible. He's such a younger sibling. You know, the younger siblings, they don't know how to think about what other people, because they're young, they don't really have to. And so I know his main concern was the family and just making sure the family was together. But that's what he wanted. He wanted it like with his mom and his brother and didn't think about necessarily what they wanted. And then his way of going about it was being a little pansy baby bitch and giving out information that he has no business giving out. So he was literally my least favorite person on the show. But of course, at the same time, he's the comedic relief and all of that and all of that. But I can't believe the show's canceled. That's so unfortunate. It's like, come on. I was just saying how I love the diversity.
Yeah.
We needed more, because that was one show I couldn't passively watch. That's why it took me so long. Because you got to read. That's the same thing with Shogun on Hulu. You got to read, right? Because they are staying true to the native tongue, which is beautiful. And so you're going to have to read those subtitles. But it was diverse. It was current. It was modern. It was kick-ass. It was amazing acting. What's her name again? You know who I'm talking about.
Michelle Yeoh.
She is Mom. The bomb.
I love her. She can do no wrong. Oh, my God. It's another movie on Netflix. I think it's the Something Academy. I got to figure it. She's amazing. Like, love Michelle.
She deserved that Oscar she got because she's amazing. Yeah. So good show. But yeah, piss poor to Netflix for that because that's unfortunate. My piss poor is going to Lindsay Hubbard of Summer House. She is well deserving of this title for getting drunk and weaponizing her fiance Carl's sobriety by accusing him of being on cocaine. And then calling him Cocaine Carl, all while being pissy drunk herself.
That's Carl, horrible.
It was so disgusting to watch. But at the same time, for people like me that have never liked Lindsay from season one and have always paid attention to the fact that she's just a shitty ass person. She's a shitty friend. She's a horrible girlfriend. Carl and Lindsay, we were rooted for them because they've been friends, right? They're both OGs on the show. They've been there since season one. You saw the history, how it was like they were friends. Then I think by like season three, four, they tried to give it a go. But at that time, Carl was in his more life stage. He was still very, you know, involved with like drinking and partying and stuff. And so he wasn't trying to take Lindsay seriously. So right. It didn't work out. But now speed up years later, it was just like, it just happened. And we were rooting for them, right? Because it's like, yeah, it's time. We're all growing up. Let's do it. But that doesn't negate the fact that Lindsay is a shitty ass person. Every relationship we've seen Lindsay have on this show has ended because of her emotional manipulation. She's a drama queen. She is a gaslighter. We have like, she's done it with every single boyfriend. Carl is like the fifth guy we've seen her date on the show. And each one, it's the same thing. It's her. Like, she definitely has mommy issues. She was raised by her aunt. We don't really, she kind of gets into it, but not too much. So there's like,
right.
Lindsay needs therapy. Like, let's be real. And so what you see on this latest episode where she starts accusing Carl of being on cocaine when he's completely sober, he still has not broken his sobriety. Lindsay has already ostracized herself in the house because one, she's a bitch, right? So she doesn't really have any friends. The one friend she had was Danielle. Remember, that was her best friend. And her and Danielle became distant last season when Lindsay started dating Carl because one, I do think Danielle was a bit jealous because Danielle and Carl dated years ago. And then, exactly. And then at the same time, Danielle was going through a rough period in her relationship that ended up ending. But Lindsay wasn't really being a friend. And then at the same time, they were just upset with Lindsay not supporting their relationship, understandably so. But then the way they went about it was also just not cool. They were going around telling people Danielle's business in the press and on the show. It was just a lot of petty, immature behavior back and forth. And then even to see like Danielle trying to like confide in Lindsay with her feelings and Lindsay just being cold. Like, she's one of those Leos. Cause Tanae is the Leo I like, but then there's those Leos that are like Lindsay and Carl. They are very selfish, stubborn about themselves. And that's her and Carl too. Cause Kyle. Kyle and Amanda, they're the next couple. I don't know. They're married, but I just really see like Kyle is just not that invested. But anyways, back to Lindsay. So because her already ostracizing herself from the girls, they're leaving the club or going to the club. So one of them going to the club and Lindsay decides to ride in the Uber with the guys. And then while she's in the Uber with the guys, she's like venting to Carl about the girls, da 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 da. And Carl saying he kind of agrees. He's agreeing with her. He's like, yeah, I get it. But I don't know. I guess his response wasn't how she wanted it to be. And so she starts saying like, are you fucking kidding me right now? And then she's like, are you sober? Are you sober? She just instantly, mind you though, I don't know where the fuck Bravo was at. They wasn't recording. So this is all through word of mouth. But the guys are even saying that they just saw Lindsay go from 0 to 100. And from there, she literally continues to accuse Carl of being on something. And then you see her on camera talking to one of the other girls and saying, he's reminding me of cocaine Carl. Like, literally said, yes. Mind you, not only is Carl sober and like really gunning for his sobriety, it's sensitive for him because he lost his brother to an overdose years ago. So for her to kind of be weaponizing his sobriety, the same way back to Kyle did that last year on last season when he told everyone that Carl used to come to work meetings coked up. So then now, and Kyle's supposed to be his best friend. And so now a year later, you're seeing his own fiance weaponize his sobriety as well. And then you see, cause Carl's a nice guy. So it's just like, he's trying to just kind of get through the argument with Lindsay, and she still, the next morning you see her throw a water at him like, here, you need this. And he's like, actually, I'm okay. You never see him come off like he was drunk, but you could tell that she was drunk the night before. She was slurring her words and everything. And then when the producers ask her in the confessional, like, was there ever a point where you thought Carl wasn't sober? She goes, no. So why would you say that?
Why would you even put that energy out there? Yes. And like, mess with that? That's such a sensitive subject.
So now, it's only episode 2, and now we can already see why Carl called off that engagement. She tried to say in the press, you know, leading up to this season that she was blindsided. Baby, you should not have been blindsided. This is exactly what you get. This is what you have been asking for. You are a disgusting person and you really need to work on yourself. You really do before you try to get into another relationship with another guy. Because it's not like she's ugly, very beautiful girl, but not internally. I'm sure it's hard for her to watch herself back. And this, again, it's only episode 2 of the new season. So there'll be more to see as we see Carl decide to end the engagement, you know? But yeah, she gets my piss poor. Lindsay.
Oof.
Yes. Yes, yes. Okay.
Change so that energy. She sounds horrible.
Yeah. It's like, I don't even know. Honestly, I'll be honest though. I was rooted for them, but I wasn't sure how long it was going to work because of her. It was either going to be because of her or because Carl was going to realize he's not happy. I do see Carl being with someone, but just not Lindsay, because Lindsay is just a lot of what he doesn't need, you know, like she really needs to work on herself and she just hasn't. And you're not going to get that happiness in a relationship with a man. Like you're not, you really need to get it from yourself. There's a lot of soul searching that she needs to do. So yeah, but all right, let's pray for her. Right, right. Let's get into who we're actually rooting for though.
Yes, and let's change the energy.
Yes, segment. So who are you rooting for, best friend?
So I am giving a big old yes to Miss Crystal Minkoff. Oh. I just love everything that you're doing right now. I just feel like you're just becoming more into your own, not only as a person, but just as a television personality. I don't know if maybe it wasn't the right situation, so we couldn't hear your voice, but I didn't really watch the show, but I did see a lot of clips of the reunion. I've watched some on like Peacock, and I'm just really impressed of her like standing in her own and kind of like coming for people, like, that's not what happened. This is what happened. I don't know. Before, I didn't really notice her. But like now I just feel like, go ahead, girl. You're right. She told a story about that everybody had to wait for Dorit for 2 hours. Okay. That everybody got to the reunion at like 5:30. Andy said it was at 8:30. At 10:30, she just came like, hi.
But that girl. Andy,
that's why he showed her shade. Like, so happy I was here early, because everybody was sitting there waiting for her Karen associated behind, because she just thought, and then Cynthia, it was an interview, Cynthia Bailey was like, she had that one curl. It took her 2 hours to do that one stupid curl.
Like, literally.
Yes, but Crystal was just like, it was annoying. It was disrespectful of the time. Like, you could just tell that Dorit really didn't care. So people were genuinely pissed because everyone was on the stage ready at 8:30 and you come 2 hours later? No, absolutely not. So Crystal spoke up. I like her this season. I'm interested to know like what happens next. And to your point, if they do keep Amory around or Anne-Marie, I would be interested to see if that grows, if like they just hate each other.
Yeah. I mean, I want them to continue hating each other, but I do like Anne-Marie on the show. I think that she was the much needed spice that the season needed, because let's be honest, Beverly Hills is one of the driest Housewife franchises. It's like, I'm so over Kyle and versus Sutton and Dorit versus Garcelle, like over it. But Anne-Marie came and shook that shit up. And then even just the controversy surrounding her husband, I think if she was to return, that would have to get discussed, unless it's something that Bravo is trying to scuttle.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Because it does involve alleged essay. And, you know, that's a sensitive topic. And then, you know, you could have the people who are like, oh, why would they bring her back? She's not worthy when her husband. Da, 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 da. So we shall see. But overall, I have always been rooting for Crystal. I've liked her since season one. I mean, her first season when she called out Sutton's ugly leather pants. I just felt like that season, you know, it was 2020. Like she was kind of, you know, she was using her voice in just a very annoying way. Right. It was kind of like a woke Karen kind of way. So now to see her just kind of pinpoint in on just people with their character flaws as it relates to like Kyle and Dorit, you know, saying things about Sutton's eating and drinking habits behind her back, or Anne-Marie lying about her allegedly lying about her medical credentials. And then, you know, possibly not owning up to the fact that she said the women aren't that smart, which we all think that she probably did say that.
Probably said that, especially if she's right. in the medical field. She probably would love to look down on them. I'm sorry. It gets...
No. Crystal said that. Crystal's not in the medical field, but Crystal has said that on the show before in her confessionals. So it's not hard to believe that she would have said that to Anne-Marie when she first met her. And I think, especially if they bring back Anne-Marie, I think that could come up again. Because I'm not sure if Anne-Marie's really going to let it go if she knows that Crystal is lying about saying that. So I just think that, I'm here for Crystal and it being her era. I'm here for it. Because honestly, I don't know. I really feel like Kyle, I would be happy to see her go. I really would be happy to see Kyle go.
Yeah, I think it's her time. I think it's mm-hmm. her time.
It's been her time.
I agree. I think I just want her to let go of it. Like, just go take a second.
Yeah.
Please. TV. Figure it out.
Yeah. So my positivity is going to Miss Quad. She got it.
For keeping, I love
that. Yeah. For keeping her composure during the Married to Medicine reunion when Simone and Hatif and those gums just had the audacity to elaborate on the tragedy that that Quad went through. I believe it was shortly after the Med Gala. So she didn't have to elaborate on it. She said, Quad went through a tragedy. And I reached out to her because her point in that was saying that she like is more genuine outside of the show than what she gets from Quad. But when she said tragedy, Andy was like, what happened? And Quad is prompting Simone not to say anything. She's like, Simone, like that literally means like, Simone, don't tell my business. And Simone goes, her niece drowned in her pool. And it was just like, oh my gosh, why would you say that? Like, why? It was so disgusting. It was so low. At this point, it's like, I don't even care if they say that Quad is just a friend for the show. You know, she don't really be coming around when the cameras aren't rolling. If this is who y'all truly are, and let's not forget, y'all had already, to me, if I was Quad, I would have already started to switch up on them after the divorce when they were trying to kind of defend Dr. G. That's all on the show, right? So it's like, it's just showing there was a lack of genuineness there on both sides. Then they tried to blame the whole Dr. Jackie video resurfacing thing on Quad. And so that becomes more of a conversation than what Jackie actually said in that video. So I was just disappointed in all of them, but just to see how Quad handled it, because I'm like, girl, I would have been going off. I'd have been reading bitches left and right.
You would have had that whole place on fire.
Are you kidding me? Especially with Simone's yelling at, I'd have been like, shut the hell up with you yapping off those damn gums and that overbite. Like, about my business, by the way. And then you're going to sit there and admit that you started distancing yourself from me out of your loyalty to Toya. So everything you say is null and void. Boo-boo. Stand on your own chin. So I'm rooting for Quad. I think by the end of, I saw a tweet that said the show villain and the real villains. And it was like the show villain is Quad and the real villains is Simone and Dr. Jackie. And the fact that it took us to get to season 10 to start opening our eyes to Dr. Jackie and Simone. But I just like how Quad carried herself. She kept her composure. She was better.
She looks beautiful. And I just hate that everybody like, I don't know. I just feel like they're just trying so hard to dislike her. And it's not to me like really valid reasons. Like she said, sorry, she took accountability. Y'all kicked her off that fucking trip, which I thought was like, that's when I stopped watching. I was like, okay, so I don't think this is right.
I haven't watched. It's just not good. It's not good television. They're going to have to figure something out because none of them can carry that show. Not even Heavenly. Y'all going to either they're going to bring back Quad and continue the show or lose Quad and lose the show. Are unless they're going to bring back Mariah, but there's no show. And what I did see a clip of, because Carlos King did an interview, his latest interview was with Eugene and Cecil.
Oh, the husband.
Yeah. And they are giving their flowers to Mariah and saying that the reason that Married to Medicine has worked and not the one that they tried to start in Atlanta and Houston, because they actually have relationships with each other. It's not people that you threw together for the sake of a show. And even as you've seen where they've done that over the years, those people haven't lasted while the core of the OGs have remained because they actually have relationships. So, like I said, you either gonna work it with Quad or bring back Mariah, because the rest of that cast, y'all ain't got it. Nobody is interested in y'all. Cause I checked out after they kicked Quad off. I checked out.
Same.
Quarrels between Sweet Tea and Heavily, I just don't care. I would much rather see Sweet Tea and Dr. G navigate their marriage and then like see how Quad factors into that, because Sweet Tea is now hanging out with Quad's crew. You know what I mean? Which is what it should have been. So I don't know. But regardless, I'm rooting for Quad because she got it. She got it. All right. And now on that note, let's wrap it up with some positivity. What you got, best friend?
I'm going to dedicate this to Quad. Aww. To be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment, by Ralph Waldo Emerson. Because sis, you're going to be good, okay?
Right.
What's yours?
Because a rose is still rose. Baby girl, you're still
a flower.
They may read you and they break you. Break you and they break you. Baby girl, you hold the power. That's my favorite Aretha Franklin song. That's like that's honestly like one of the only songs I can actually listen to that it makes me like tear up. I get emotional listening to that song. Yeah, because it's real deep. It's real deep in the Black community. My quote is, it's all connected. Your gifts, your circumstances, your purpose, your imperfections, your journey, your destiny. It's molding you. So embrace it. By Pinterest.
That note. The way I was like, I love this. And I can't wait for the freaking author.
Pinterest. Okay. We just, you know, when people post random quotes on Pinterest, I will find them. I save them to my board titled Things to Live By.
We gotta find these people because they be helping us through life. Okay.
Okay. But if you like them, you can follow me on Pinterest and subscribe to my board, Things to Live By. Okay. All right. And on that note, our closing slogan is
love, abundance, and hair bundles. Beautiful people. Enjoy.
Joy. And watch good television. Bye.
Yes.